Amen. Thank you. This week we are looking at a text from Colossians, which is a letter written by the Apostle Paul to a community in the midst of great turmoil. They were wrestling with how Jewish their faith should be, which was a big deal to the non-Jewish converts in their church. And so, for instance, if I told you that the main point of this sermon is we're going to all be kosher from henceforth, and if you don't, then your eternal salvation is in question, would you react to that by going home, clearing out your pantry, redoing your refrigerator, not even waiting till it's like mostly empty, throwing out what's in there that's not kosher and replacing it immediately? Would you kiss bacon cheeseburgers goodbye in the name of Jesus? I can tell you what would actually happen. You'd get a new pastor. Don't mess with my dinner, preacher. You've gone from preaching to meddling. As Paul helped this church see that Jesus was more important than the cultural differences between the Jewish converts and the Greek converts, he also urged them to think about and focus on and put into practice the most important things. And we see a nice summary of some of those most important things in Colossians chapter 3. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. And with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord, so thanks be to God. Well, I have to tell you that there is something very strange about Denver. Alone, among all the cities that I have lived in or near, Denver has a peculiar ability to take all these people who have moved in from across the United States and convert them to the true church of the Denver Broncos. And in my household, this has caused not a lot of strife, but a small amount of strife, because while my wife does not care who I cheer for, she absolutely hates it when she gets in the car and I have left it on AM Sports Talk Radio. And usually that means Orange and Blue 760. So I think I need a sponsorship for this mention here. If anyone knows anyone at the radio station, get me an Orange and Blue stole or something. But it's interesting, as I've listened this year, the local radio hosts have said something so interesting. When they're talking about the offense heading into the season, when they were talking about the offense during the winning streak at the beginning of the season, and even now in the losing streak, they were saying the same thing. Hey, offense, all we need you to be is average. Just be average. And they're probably right. With a great defense, average offense can win you a ton of games. But somehow, I doubt, if you were a fly on the wall in the coaches' meetings, I doubt that's what they're saying. Right? I doubt that the quarterback's coach is starting the film session going, you know, Brock, we just want you to be average this week. Trevor, sorry, you weren't able to be average. Paxton, you're finally getting healthy. We're looking forward to your average play for us this year. That's probably not what the coaches are saying, right? Or if football isn't your thing, it has been the most wonderful time of the year in the staff here, which is performance evaluation times here at First Pres Littleton. And I can guarantee you I don't go into those meetings with the staff telling them to just be average. That's not one of the goals. When the personnel committee meets with me to evaluate my performance this year, I don't think they're going to tell me you were pleasantly average, Cody. That's not the goal. We're celebrating Veterans Day today. Those are the veterans among us. If you can rewind to basic training and imagine your drill sergeant is in front of you, is that person telling you to just be average? Is average, is your uniform being average but not pristine going to cut it? Is that going to make your drill sergeant stop yelling at you? I doubt it. Because average isn't the goal. Are you with me so far? In Paul's letter, average is definitely not the goal. He says, whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Think about that. Do everything, whether it is something you say or something you do, do everything in the name of Jesus. That means whenever I meet with our homeless friend Brian and make him peanut butter sandwiches, those had better be the best, shockingly overladen with peanut butter sandwiches this side of the Mississippi. A peanut butter sandwich worthy of Jesus, right? This text haunted me for one of the summers of my life when I had the worst job I have ever had and hopefully ever will. I was in charge of the warehouse at a tourist trap in Port Aransas, Texas. And because at my normal level of industry, I only had enough work for about 2 hours a day. But they were paying me for more than that, and they did not want me just sitting there in the warehouse either. But they also didn't want me out interacting with customers or other employees. They just had me stuffed away in the Harry Potter closet filled with junk, and I wasn't supposed to leave. So first, to do this warehouse in the name of Jesus, I decided I'm going to reorganize everything. That'll take me a little bit of time. I inferred that the previous warehouseians were not as industrious as I was because it seemed to be organized based on how the object would be enticing to a drunken chimpanzee. That's the best organization I could think of to describe it. So first I tried alphabetical organization based on the product, and that didn't quite seem right. So I reorganized the warehouse again, this time by category, but the main problem was all of the categories were just junk. So that didn't work. So then I finally came up with a scheme that was based on the sections of the store to help with restocking, and that worked great, except for one problem. That was only 2 weeks, and I had a 3-month job. Cue the boredom again. Sometimes the task that we have before us is not grand. Sometimes our job today can seem like a cruel joke. Sometimes it can feel like it's beneath us. Sometimes what needs to be done is just pointlessly difficult. If you've had to deal with the government on any level, you know what that feels like. But even then, Paul says, whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. So what is your task right now? What is your purpose or role right now? Whether it is uplifting to you or fingernails on a chalkboard annoying, what do you need to do? And how can you honor Jesus in how you do it? For example, in our first text that we heard today, Paul was asking another church to give substantially an offering for the poor. He was asking them to dig deep into their pockets to give funds for Christians in another city that they would never, ever meet. And he knows that this is a hard task. He tells them, each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly, not under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. But he also says, through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience. In other words, he tells them that they are to decide how much of their personal finances makes a gift that Jesus would be proud of. That's what he's putting on them. So if your task is giving, do it in a way that it honors the name of Jesus. Or in our sermon text today, Paul is asking this church to recommit to their faith in Jesus and to reconcile their differences, to be clothed in love, he writes. So if your task is to heal a relationship or to bridge some differences, do that in the name of the Lord Jesus. If you're just as bored at work as I was in that dark dungeon of a warehouse, do your work in the name of Jesus. If the Holy Spirit has placed upon you a burning desire to be a part of a ministry or to start a ministry, do that in the name of Jesus. If you are concerned for another person, pray for them, help them in the name of Jesus. What's your task? What's your next purpose? What's your next role? And whether that is uplifting to you or fingernails on a chalkboard boring, how can you honor Jesus through it? But here's the hard part. What does that even look like? What does it look like to honor Jesus? Now, I've got to admit, when I was in that warehouse, I never actually figured out what to do with all of that time in the warehouse. I first tried writing all of my reports left-handed because it took longer, and I got to learn a skill in the process, but that wasn't enough. I mean, I didn't wreck the warehouse like the previous people, so that was an upgrade for whoever came next. And I kept the store, the shelf in that store's, all of those shelves were stocked perfectly the entire summer so that the tourists could waste their money on junk. Maybe that was enough to do my job well. But the hardest part is to figure out what I need to do, not just so that I think it's okay, but so that Jesus is proud. Not just a question of what I think is good enough, but what does Jesus think is good enough in this role? And I actually want to give us some time to ask that question during this sermon time. We're going to have an opportunity in just a minute to pray through that. And Susan's going to play a little bit on, going to play some music in the background as well as we have this time of prayer. So if you, when I asked if you know your task, if you know your purpose, if you had an answer for that, then what I want you to do is to take this time to pray for God to reveal how you can honor Jesus in that. Ask for specific actions. Ask God for specific behaviors and attitudes that will make others see the love of Jesus through you. Now, you may get a sense of confirmation that the plan you already had was is the right one. You may also get a word from God that he wants you to do something differently. Ask the Spirit for guidance in that next task or purpose. But I also know there's a lot of people here who don't know the answer to that question, or maybe you used to know and now that role no longer applies. You can't do that anymore. What's your next purpose? Well, this is an opportunity to pray for God to tell you that. Ask God to reveal where you are to go, what you are to do, what you are to say. Ask God to open the door and ask God to help you see that open door and to walk through it. Ask God for a Jesus-honoring vision. And what better place to ask these questions than surrounded by fellow believers in Jesus Christ? Let's take the time right now to seek God's will in our lives. Thank you.